Well, welcome back to another episode of the TagCast, the home of the AdultGamer.com community podcast. I am Fenrir765. I am one of the two hosts, and I'll introduce my main man in a moment, but I just want to talk about our community for a second. We are a group of adults that from all walks of life who enjoy playing video games, and we keep on doing adult things like pay the bills, have jobs, have kids, and, you know, other adult things if you want to partake, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, yes, I mentioned myself. I am Fenrir765, but I get to be joined by the man who has conquered all evil already, Mr. Optimus Fett. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic, Finn. How are you doing?
I am so good. So good. I went out and purchased a new car yesterday. That's how my life's been.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah, moving on up in the world, you know. Got rid of nice. A damn near 20-year-old car to
Oh wow.
So, it's like time traveling. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing. You get to see all these things that didn't exist in cars 20 years ago just appear all of a sudden, right?
That are like standard issue equipment. You're like, "What?"
Yeah. It's amazing. Anyways, yeah, things are good. Can't complain. I'm on summer break. I'm staying up a little later, you know, sleeping in a little bit on some days. It's pretty nice. So, yeah, what's new with you, sir?
Well, not much other than since the last episode, I've taken a new journey with gaming. I had a friend that loaned me his PS5, and I started playing some really cool games, and I was able to scrounge up the funds and get my own PS5. It should be coming soon. I still have my buddies over here, but I'm excited to play a bunch of cool stuff that I didn't have access to, and I'm just excited to play these games. It's interesting, and it's because, you know, it's because Microsoft let me down that I went down this road. I would have never even done this had they not let me down personally. I know they didn't let everybody else down. Some people liked what they were doing lately, but this last year has been not great for Xbox fans. So I'm excited to check out some other stuff, and it's all because they let me down.
I mean, not once have we ever disparaged PlayStation. We see what they're doing, and we notice that there's always been quality stuff coming from them. It's just
no, right? But I never really, really felt the need to go get one until this last year. It's been building.
I'm being called a liar by Ubo. I would love for the receipts on that one. But anyways, yes, it is awesome. I'm glad you're getting a chance to dive in there. I totally wish I could. I made the crack to my wife about getting a PlayStation 5, and she was just like, "Do you need one?" I was like, "I don't need one." And she goes, "Okay, that's enough of this conversation." So, yeah, that's awesome, man. I am glad you're having fun with those games. So let's talk a little bit about them. What have you been playing?
Well, the one I decided to start with, which is what I had bought it when I had the PS4 like a year ago that I didn't end up keeping. And I'm going to be honest, I need 60 frames to play games. So playing on the PS4, some of those games at 30 frames were kind of sluggish. So that's
why
I got rid of it. I'm not a snob. I have standards. Right? So I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn, which is a PS4 game, but on the PS5, much like Xbox does with a lot of their stuff, it gets a nice upgraded locked 60 frames and a 4K graphics upgrade. The game, other than that, is exactly the same, and it's phenomenal. It's one of the best adventure role-playing games I've ever played. It's like a mix of, it's like a third person kind of Fallout meets Elder Scrolls. It's actually written by one of the guys that worked on Fallout New Vegas. The game, and it's that with actually like fun combat. I love the bow combat. The melee with the spear is a little questionable at times, but it even has bits of like taking down giant creatures like a Dark Souls or what was that game on the PS2? I not it was a sequel to Ico, or not really, Shadow of the Colossus, like these giant fucking creatures. You're like, how am I supposed to beat this thing? And then of course you end up figuring it out. The world is huge, it's living, it the day and night cycle changes, there's weather cycles. It's a ton of fun. It's really well done. The graphics for a PS4 game were impressive, and it's nice to see it with the 4K and 60. It looks, I mean, it looks current gen. It looks that good. It's fucking wonderful. I've been enjoying every minute of it. I picked up a few games. I picked up the Miles Morales Ultimate Edition Spider-Man, which comes with Spider-Man Remastered of the first one, and then the Miles Morales add-on, and that's another really pretty. I played just the beginning. I don't want to get into that game yet, but I wanted to play it just because I went and saw Across the Spider-Verse and Spider-Man was on my mind. So I played just the beginning mission. I was like, oh, I can't wait to get into this game. This is really cool. Street Fighter VI came out, and I really love the graphics. I love the gameplay. I do not care for the menus, the UI system, the lack of King of the Hill lobbies. I got a stack of complaints against the game. I'm hoping that Capcom will eventually smooth out some of those things. The core gameplay, though, and the graphics are phenomenal, and it's great. And I'm just hoping as they get feedback from players, they start to tweak some of this stuff. There's like 20 submenus for things. I don't know why. It's almost like three. They built it as three different experiences under one hood, and then each one has its own menus. It's really fucking annoying at times. I'm like, how do I get over here now? Fuck. And then all there was a little game that dropped for us action RPG junkies, the good old Diablo 4. I got in on the early access and played it quite a bit. And I knew the servers were going to be crazy yesterday because that was the first day for the regular access. So I played Horizon Zero Dawn last night and just instead I was like, yeah, I'm just not even going to try and get on Diablo. But it's really good. I'm really impressed with Diablo as far as like it's a full featured game and everything actually works.
Yeah, it's been widely regarded as one of the best like living games to launch,
Well,
you know,
it
like
actually launched with like a full functioning game. Everything fucking works. Like,
yeah.
I really didn't have any issues. It even had a fully functioning store. Not that I wanted to buy anything. Like, it's hilarious to me that this game has all these cosmetic microtransactions. And I was like, I'm playing on a 55-inch TV. My guy is maybe 2.5 inches tall. Who the
Yeah.
fuck cares? Like, what? Like,
I
I
mean,
was like, that's ridiculous.
I haven't gotten that far into it. I finally booted it up
That being
here.
said, if they put in a Knights of the Old Republic style Mandalorian armor set in the game, I might crack. That might push me over the edge. You know how I fall for Star Wars
That's true.
cosmetics.
Anything Boba adjacent, you're all about.
Yeah, any Mandalorian gear, I gotta get it.
Yeah, I've just recently dove into Diablo 4. I did not do the High Roller Get to Hell edition, and so I had to wait until yesterday officially to get it. But I actually didn't start playing until about an hour ago, and I just quickly ran through to where you fight the very first boss and get to, you know, eat some delicious plant-based proteins, I think. I don't know. Quickly ran through it, but I've gotten through most of this stuff already through the betas, so now I'm now getting into it. I've decided to go Druid. What has been your class with Diablo 4?
Oh, I was really like thinking about that class, and then I went rogue.
Rogue is my fallback. If I decide I don't like the Druid and it's early enough, I may start over and run through a rogue. I really enjoyed the rogue in the beta, but I really wanted to try something different in that. And the druid is probably the most different class out of all the things that I can recall. And like, especially with Diablo 3 related. So yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I've loosely followed along in our Discord about what's going on with the game. It seems like a lot of people have, or there's a few,
yeah, that channel's pretty active.
Yeah. I feel like a few people have beaten it already and they're working their way towards it. I noticed I've kind of watched also from the far reaches, the race to 100. And I saw that like the first guy to get to level 100 did it in like 55 hours and he only slept for 8 hours.
And yeah, then ridiculous.
Another guy made it to 100 on hardcore. And
right,
like, that's pretty impressive. I saw a couple like close call things, like clips from Twitch where people were streaming.
Oh, really?
Where, like,
I didn't watch that at
all. They're like level like 86 and they almost like they had like 5 hit points, you know, something ridiculously low. Somehow they were able to like get out of danger and heal up. So it was pretty cool to see. And I was not surprised at all that before the weekend was over, somebody would complete that challenge and break the game and be done with it. So I heard there's like a lot of people reporting that one of the 100, I think the hardcore 100 person did it in a group and was somehow able to figure out how to reset dungeons or do something where they could essentially boost themselves to 100 faster, which really sucks. 'Cause there is one guy who is doing it all solo by himself. And that was crazy. Yeah. Ubo just posted the Megan Fox Diablo 4 thing. I haven't seen it. I just seen the like video of it, and yeah, it's it's spicy. Yeah, and then I've been playing some Halo Infinite, and then my addiction will probably for Hunt Showdown will probably be waned a little bit here with Diablo 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did she have like another alteration?
She did get some new cosmetics, it looks like. Yes.
Yeah, it definitely looks like she went to the
microtransaction store.
Yeah.
I mean, would you say macro transaction?
Macro, yeah. Oh crap.
Anyways,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, I've been playing Hunt. Finished the last quest line. They call them quest lines right now, but they're kind of like seasons. So me and Warlock last night decided to forgo Diablo because we were so close. We had a few quests left, and we ground out some missions last night. And I gotta tell you, man, we had some clutch missions that were great. And me and Warlock were having fun last night pulling off some extractions that were just chef's kiss. So, alrighty, sir. That's it for what I've been playing. And I have a feeling for the next few months, or really the next month, most of us will be playing Diablo. It seems like our server has brought back a lot of old heads.
Oh, yeah. People that I haven't seen since I first joined Tag.
Yeah.
Like, that was when I first joined Tag, Diablo 3 was in its heyday. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people. I'm like, oh, here we go.
I guess there's a shaman who's Ubo's best friend. He has made it back. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how things shake out with all these new faces and how long they stick around. Hopefully for a while and bring some joy to our server. Alrighty. Speaking of Diablo, I'm going to jump into the news, and you know, there's no better segue. Rob Ferguson was on the Kinda Funny XCast, and he was on a lot of podcasts recently that I listened to. And anyways, on the Kinda Funny one, he talked about shipping the game, but he kind of mentioned that there will be 2 expansions with that. So
yeah.
I'm
guessing we're going to get at least 1 or 2 characters also.
Yeah, he talked a lot about a lot of those details. And I would definitely say go to the XCast from Kinda Funny and take a listen to it, because it's a pretty good interview. So, but yeah, he talked a lot about just like getting the game out there. And he did the same thing on Podcast Unlocked. And, you know, it was just interesting to hear him talk about Diablo and how important it was to him. So that was kind of cool. Western Digital, we talked about this before, they finally have released their Xbox expansion cards for half a terabyte or 512.
They've been like talking about this shit for like 2 years.
Well, remember there, like a couple weeks ago or a month ago, there was an actual leak that Western Digital had one to come out, but it never actually went live. It like disappeared again.
Yeah.
So now it's actually, you can order it now. 500 gigs is $80 and a terabyte is 150, which, you know.
And I think Seagate is matching those prices going
essentially forward. Yes. Yeah. The interesting thing is, and that's kind of the hope, right? Competition will lower the prices. You also have the issue that, you know, most Xbox gamers, and you'll soon notice this because you'll be able to do this pretty cheaply comparatively to Xbox, is upgrade your storage with a SSD card
that
you can buy off Amazon and have a boatload more storage compared to what you'll have on your Xbox, which, you know,
right,
maybe nice.
I mean, I can see why. I can see why, you know, Microsoft, I think, did this. They chose this solution because it required you not to open the box at all. You don't have to touch anything.
Yep.
I like that. The price, though, was bullshit. Like, the fact that these cards were so expensive was kind of baloney. Like, that seemed like an inflation gate sort of thing. That seemed like total bullshit that they were so expensive. You can't tell me that it costs that much more to make this thing. Like, that, they literally did that. Seagate was able to do that, I don't know why or how, or to make money, whatever. It's just fucking shitty. Whereas the PS5, you can use a standard NVMe drive as long as it meets certain, you know, requirements, and then basically you take like two screws off your PS5 and you can pop it right in.
Yep.
And they're like half the price easily, if not less.
Well, the one thing I read, and I do not recall where I read the article, and it essentially talked about how, and I cannot tell you the technology components but it has something to do for Xbox, was they were banking on maybe this style of storage connection, like the, I don't know what the connection, because it's not a standard, like, you know, you slide it into a slot, like the whole SSD into a slot like you would. It's something different. You know, it's like the HD DVD thing again, right? Microsoft banked it on something becoming a new norm, and it didn't. And so there's not as much market for it, so that's why the prices are still relatively high with it. Now, I mean, Microsoft could probably figure out a way to help that, but why would they? So it just kind of really sucks that it went that path. Now, it would just be nice if there was a way to take a like NVMe drive and put it into like some kind of housing and then plug it into the
just expansion. Have an adapter.
Yeah, yeah, but that probably won't ever come, you know, because Seagate and Western Digital wouldn't want that, right? All right, so you spoke of Street Fighter VI. It was apparently a hit, right? I mean, it was, well, it is one of the biggest grossing and fastest growing fighting games in a really long time. It went over 1 million players during its opening weekend. It was, wasn't it like also rated as one of the fastest selling Street Fighters too?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a surprise, because there's more gamers now than there probably was on, maybe not necessarily fives, but before.
I mean, but also like, Five only released on PlayStation and PC, and it didn't even get off to a good start. Five got off to a real rocky start.
Well, it didn't have like a whole bunch of character issues and crap like that.
It didn't even have an arcade mode. It didn't have. It was very bare bones when it launched. It was really bad. It got really good the last year or so, but I think what we have here is right now you have a company, Capcom, that is firing on all cylinders, probably better than almost any other company, as far as they really know what they're doing with their game design and their engine. Their own in-house engine has really like enabled them to do some incredible things. The the wave of the recent Resident Evil games, both 7 and 8, and then the remakes of 2, 3, and 4 are all like just amazing, and they have great gameplay experiences along with the graphical fidelity that works on modern machines. You know, Monster Hunter's taken off like crazy for them, and Street Fighter's been one of their biggest franchises, and they let the team that fixed Street Fighter V come in and design this new game from the ground up on this new engine. And they've given a path for beginners with these modern controls that it makes it easier for people to pick up and play the game, which is going to be great to get new players playing. I mean, that's the biggest obstacle a lot of times for fighting games that I hear from people. They're like, oh, there's too many buttons. It's too hard. I don't know how to play. Well, now you don't have that excuse. The analogy that I like that somebody said is like the new modern controls is like a regular, let's take the example of Subaru Impreza consumer edition with an automatic transmission. You still got the turbo, but it's an automatic and it's a consumer model. And when you're playing with the classic controls that you would want an arcade stick, that's like driving the actual rally race car. It's more fine-tuned. It's going to go faster if you know how to drive it. But for if you had two amateurs, the one in the consumer edition is probably going to do just fine. I thought that was a pretty good analogy for that. So I think that's why Street Fighter hit. And people, you know, their graphics were insane. That they did a great job with the beta tests. They just they knocked it out of the park. So far, Capcom's batting 1,000 the past like 2-3 years.
Well, I read a really cool synopsis about how Capcom did the Street Fighter reviews, right? They released all their review copies to people to obviously get
like a month in advance or something. Yeah,
they got their hands on it. They got to play it. And, you know, one of the biggest knocks with reviews on games that are multiplayer is people wait until the game fully releases to kind of give that final verdict. So what Capcom was able to do was use those beta weekends, and the reviewers were able to play the full version of the game, essentially, or most of the game, with live people. So they were able to include what they did in the beta in their reviews so they can get a full
nice
review. That's why like so many of the reviews came out right before release. So that was cool. Capcom really played their cards right with Street Fighter 6. So, and I hope that for like your sake and several others, that, you know, I've heard the menus have been very Capcom-y. So I hope that they kind of streamline and fix some of these things and add in some of those, you know, modes that are very beloved in our tag community. All right. Cloud gaming, moving over to that, which we talked about a while ago, how that was the reason the CMA in the United Kingdom blocked the Activision Blizzard King deal with Microsoft. Well, Sony's head of Sony, Yoshida, came out and essentially just said, you know, cloud gaming is great, thinks it's awesome, but there's a lot of technical difficulties in its way still, but they are preparing to take on those challenges. And there was a lot of reports also that Sony might have been the company that said that they were able to reduce the latency in cloud gaming to a fraction of what it is for most other people. And, you know, but there's no actual information that that's what they said, because everything is like written in, you know, a company has said this. So it'll be interesting to see how these things happen, especially with like the CMA going through appeals, also the FTC with their legal battles. So it's essentially down to the United States and the UK. There's a few other countries that are in still figuring out whether they're going to approve or deny, but these are the two big ones left. And if one of those two ends up passing the deal, then the deal is pretty much done at that point, right? So, all right. This next article came from Bloomberg. Jason Schreier, he was able to do some investigative reporting and essentially came out with a bunch of interesting information. And I will preface this: when I was reading through the article, he talks about this, that essentially he interviewed a lot of devs at Arcane Austin who were some of the more lower tier devs. The everyday devs, not the executives or the leads or, you know, directors. It was more just like the everyday people building the game. And essentially it came out that when Microsoft bought ZeniMax, some of the thoughts was maybe Microsoft will cancel Redfall outright. Like it just seemed like nobody really wanted to make the game except for the people who were in charge. And there was a lot of issues with vision and planning. There were supposed to be a lot more microtransactions, or there's supposed to be microtransactions. There was supposed to be a ton of other things in it. And the game that we got is essentially a masterpiece of what it was before, or what it could have been. And that it is still not a very good game. So it's really interesting. There was another point that 70% of the people who worked on Prey no longer work at Arcane Austin, and a lot of it had to do with the fact that they didn't believe in the project that was Redfall. So that, you know, that's interesting. And it very much was like Microsoft was essentially hands off with this game. They kind of just like, all right, you guys do what you got to do. And then the only thing they did was cancel the PS5 version. So, yeah. I mean, clearly this game was not what it was supposed to be. All right. Next up, The Last of Us, or Naughty Dog, the studio Naughty Dog, who makes The Last of Us, they kind of iced the multiplayer game that they were working on called Factions. And it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It hasn't been canceled, but they essentially came out with a Twitter post and they said that, hey, we're going to reallocate our resources to focus on new and exciting things. So, yeah, that's kind of it. We're trying to let this project breathe a little bit and maybe figure out what it's supposed to be going forward. Now, I don't really know anybody in TAG who's been super interested in that multiplayer version of The Last of Us, but I know that you probably aren't super interested since you couldn't quite get through the first game, but it just kind of, it's interesting. It's been kind of a crawl on a lot of people's side of, you know, what is going on with this multiplayer game. All right.
Yeah. I got to wonder if that's something like the multiplayer from Splinter Cell, where it's a really creative idea that could be really fun, but maybe there's not really enough general interest to make it a big enough sell to a mass population. You know what I mean?
It sounds like maybe Naughty Dog is doing what Arcane Austin should have done, was realize maybe this isn't as good as we thought it was going to be and just scrap it, right? Or, you know, and let it just kind of disappear. You know, you don't have to come out and outright say it's canceled. Maybe you'll bring it back eventually. I don't know. And maybe it's just not what they've built so far has some potential, but it just it's like missing something and they don't know what to make it. I don't know. All right. A game that I actually am excited for is Alan Wake 2. And we got a release date for it at the Sony showcase. But the big news out of it was Alan Wake 2 supposedly will be digital only, and in fact, because they're making it digital only, they're keeping the price down. So instead of $70, the, you know, console version will be $60, the PC version will be at $50, which I don't really understand why that is a different thing. And then, by the way, that's kind of the thing. But then THQ Nordic kind of came back as like, hey, we did the disc version for Alan Wake and PC, you know, just because somebody doesn't love physical, there's plenty that do, and hey, let us know and we'll jump in there and help you out with the physical release. But either way, you know, as a digital only consumer, I ain't mad at it, right? And if it brings the cost of a new game down by $10, even better, right? I mean, I imagine you're in the same boat. You'd rather pay $10 less for a game that's completely digital, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not at all interested in physical stuff, at least gaming.
All right. Did you, now that you're a PlayStation owner, did you get a chance to check out anything from the PlayStation Showcase?
I did. Yeah.
Anything?
I was actually adding some stuff that you left out.
All right. Yeah, I just kind of put the ones on our notes of the things that I was kind of interested in. But, you know, I noticed that Bungie is finally dropping their next new game, which is really a return to an old game, and that's Marathon. And
well, return to an old game universe.
True.
The game itself is going to play totally different.
Yes, because it's going to be an extraction shooter, which is something I've become pretty fond of, and it will be multi-platform as well. I saw they talked about Dragon's Dogma 2. I really loved the first game, so I look forward to seeing what.
Yeah, they showed it there. It's multi-platform.
Yep. Phantom Blade Zero was a really cool looking game, and you know, I was really intrigued by the aesthetics of it. It was kind of like a samurai Dark Souls kind of thing again. And then Helldivers 2 looked really awesome. It had a really cool trailer to it. And then you kind of hit the big one was that everybody was expecting to be there was the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake, which was Snake Eater. And then they also talked about the collection of you get 1, 2, and 3.
Right, the classic. Mm-hmm. You get Metal Gear Solid 1, 2, and 3, but you also get the original Metal Gear and Metal Gear 2 from the MSX computers. You're getting 5 full games on that collection.
Yeah.
The other huge game they showed was that Spider-Man 2, which looked pretty awesome from Insomniac. And we've got Peter with the alien suit and Miles Morales, and it's going to have not co-op, but you'll be able to switch between the Spider-Man during the story or during the missions as you wish, and then certain story parts you'll have to play as just Peter or Miles Morales.
It makes me really happy that you said Peter in the alien suit. And not just Venom, because it's not Venom.
Well, it's not Venom yet. Yes. They'll probably, I'm assuming, I don't know what the storyline is going to be, but I'm assuming they will have that at the end of this game, and then he'll be fighting. Venom will be the villain in the third game. That's my guess.
But yeah, I still enjoy that because it is definitely a nuance that people don't seem to have with the alien or the black suit Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's cool. Yeah, no, it was really interesting. I know that there was a lot of people across the internet, which is not a surprise, was pretty down on the PlayStation showcase.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they showed a lot of good stuff. I was like, that looks awesome.
The people that were mostly peeved, and there was a lot of PlayStation-centric people, and they're peeved because it was a bunch of multi-platform games, and they were like, where's our first party stuff? Like, why are we not getting what we want that's only going to be on our console? And
well, they got a couple.
Yeah, but it was mostly like, you know, I don't know if you saw the tweet from Xbox like right after the conference, and it was like, come play these games, and it was essentially 70% of the conference was also going to be released on Xbox. Yeah. So,
but that's the same on most of these Xbox conferences too. The most of the stuff they show is stuff that's going to be multi-platform.
True.
I mean, like on any ecosystem other than PC is the one where 99% of any game is on a PC, right?
Yeah.
At some point, there's a few the Nintendo's games never go, certain Sony exclusives never go, but pretty much everything that's on Xbox is on a PC. Most stuff that you can get on a PlayStation, get on PC.
Yeah.
But yeah, even at the Xbox shows. But I mean, they had Spider-Man 2. They've got Final Fantasy 16. They got Helldivers 2. Those were three that are only going to be on PS5 or PC.
I am not disagreeing with you. It was just there was a lot of upset feelings from PlayStation fan.
Those guys should try being Xbox fans the past 4 years.
I mean, there's a different breed, right? Ubo brought up in the chat about the PlayStation handheld, Project Q, right?
Streaming handheld thing. Yeah.
Yes. I thought it was interesting, and there's a Logitech one that's out now that, you know, I imagine those two devices will kind of be similar to each other.
So there are things that I will not do. Mobile gaming, VR. So I will never care about either of those things.
Yeah. Well, the only reason like I would ever want a handheld, and that was because like maybe when my kid gets a little older and she's playing something and I don't have access to it, so maybe I want something to play on. I don't know. Like just me spitballing here, but it was interesting. I don't know if I like the aesthetic of the device. It looked like they just cut a DualSense in half and shoved a screen in between it, which is fine because people rave that the DualSense is a superior controller. So more power to you for that opinion. I don't have any, you know, differing thought on it because I haven't actually ever touched DualSense. So I will say that it will be interesting to see how this device really pushes the needle. You know, if people will really like it, because if I remember correctly, it has to stream from the PlayStation. Like, it's not like it's streaming from the cloud.
Right.
It's a peer-to-peer stream.
I'm too lazy or my wife's watching TV. And I'm going to hold this handheld and pretend I'm hanging out with her device.
You know, I guess like maybe if you're upstairs in your room and I don't know. There are people who will use it. I do know that.
Sure.
So, and that'd be great. I mean, and honestly, like, did they announce a price for it yet? Because I can't recall. Probably not.
I don't recall.
Probably too early. Well,
and honestly, I'm going to tell you why I don't recall, because I don't care.
That's true.
Sorry. Like, I don't even look at those things. I'm like, don't care.
Well, and I didn't even put this in the news story because it just happened yesterday and I forgot about doing it. But this conversation with a handheld that brought it up was, you know, the Apple.
Oh, God.
What's the name of that device?
Their VR thing.
Their VR AR thing. Yeah. That costs what? $3,500.
Yeah.
I mean,
no thanks.
Virtual Pro. That's it. Thank you. Yeah. That's insane. I mean, it looks cool, but I mean, it looks like some high-tech ski goggles, but it is. I was just like, as soon as I saw the price tag on that thing, I mean, I wasn't surprised because it is Apple, but two, I was just, damn. They might be making like four of those, and that's all they'll sell, and they'll be happy with that, right? So, I mean, whatever. All righty, that's enough of the news. Sir, please tell me about games that have come out already. And
well, we talked about Street Fighter 6 hit worldwide release, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, full crossplay. There's no in-game voice chat, so we have Discord channels on the tag server called Street Fighter 6 1 and then Street Fighter 6 2 for crossplay reasons. But the crossplay itself works great. The in-game friend system kind of sussy. Like I said, the menus and everything in that game are a little clunky. I'm not a fan, but it's out and it's a wonderful game. We love Katamari Reroll, PC, PlayStation, and Switch and Xbox, June 2nd. Elder Scrolls' latest expansion dropped yesterday, June 5th on PC. Diablo 4 hit everything June 6th, except for the Switch. Amnesia, The Bunker, I think. Is that the game that B-Daddy was talking about? That's PC, PlayStation, Xbox, June 6th. Layers of Fears, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, June 15th. Same day, Goodbye Volcano High, PC and PlayStation. June 20th, the console edition of Elder Scrolls Online, Necrom, Xbox, and PlayStation. Aliens Dark Descent, PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Crash Team Rumble, same day, PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Final Fantasy 16 looks awesome. That's PC and PS5, June 22nd. It reminds me a lot of Dragon's Dogma from the way it looks. It has a real-time action combat. Story of Seasons, Wonderful Life, June 27th, PC, PlayStation, Switch, and Xbox. Also, AEW Fight Forever. I think it's like a wrestling game or something. PC, PlayStation, Switch, Xbox. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective, June 30th. PC, PlayStation, Switch, Xbox. And then Everybody 1-2 Switch on the Nintendo Switch, June 30th. Saw some interesting things about that game not being good, but they're still releasing it. I don't know how true that is. But anyway, on to the tag community. Fenn.
Yes.
What's going on this? Or did you guys already do your first Thursday?
Yeah, we did our first Thursday last Thursday. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, every first Thursday, we're trying to get a little Halo night on, and maybe we'll double dip in the month here and there.
Maybe the next one I join you. Did you know on was it Saturday night?
I saw you playing a whole bunch of Halo Infinite.
Yeah, with Maynard.
I know.
Me and Maynard, it was like rewind tag to 2008.
I noticed. I was shocked. I mean, you told me you were going to get back in there, but I was still shocked to see that you were actually doing it. And how are your thoughts?
I'm glad there's maps. That's all. I'm just glad there's maps now. I mean, it runs good at 120 and there's maps. So I'll play it now. If there's people to play, I'm not going to get competitive. I'm not going to throw them any money to their battle pass, which is still garbage if you ask me. But
it moves pretty quickly now. It really does. But yeah, I get your point either way. But yeah, no, Halo first Thursday. And, you know, we were talking the other Thursday, me, Anthem, B-Daddy, Are You Dead was there. Goo came in. That was fun to talk with Goo. It's always a good time. And you know, we were like, maybe we should add in another Thursday, or, you know, just vibe check it at least later in the month. So anyways, yeah, that's the first Thursday of the month. Sir, you guys punching and kicking on Fridays still?
Yeah, well, so Fight Club, we tried Street Fighter 6 last Friday, but the custom rooms were not working. And trying to play Fight Club in the Battle Hub system, even on lonely servers, didn't work because random people would come and invade our games because you couldn't lock anybody out. So after about an hour, I just said, you know what, I'm fucking done with this. And I left. It was just very frustrating. And we had a few people who didn't have Discord set up yet, and we couldn't talk to them. And part of the fun that I have with Fight Club, it's like hanging out with your buddies and we're just hanging out. Like, none of us are trying to be pro Street Fighter players. Nobody in Fight Club is ever going to be a pro Street Fighter player. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, like, we're family people. We're here to just hang out and game, have a few beers and throw down. Now, if anybody is a pro player and they come to play us, they're going to get bored real quick. So they'd probably kick all our asses and just leave. At least I would hope that they would just kick all our asses and just leave. So yeah, if you want to hang out and have a good time, join us. Hopefully this Friday, the private rooms work. We got everybody on Discord now. The crossplay seems to work just fine. I did some tests. Sith's on PC. My buddy is on PlayStation. We had a couple people on Xbox that all seemed to work across the board. So yeah, Friday nights, Fight Club. Join the Fight Club role. Get your Street Fighter 6 on.
Awesome. All right, Ben. All right. So, you know, on the TagCast, we get into a deep dive about something every single episode. And now, you know, I don't know if you know, notice, Hop, but there's some big things happening later this week. Starting Thursday is Summer Game Fest, or people like to call the Key 3, because, you know, E3 died and Jeff Keighley is kind of the man now with this whole thing that he started a couple years ago. And you know, it is always a really cool time because we get to have a lot of big things happen, or at least announcements. And I'm going to kind of go through the schedule of what is out there. And all these times will be in Eastern Standard Time. So you can find all these shows on YouTube or Twitch, you know, things that are not dead, like Mixer, you know, just all sorts of great, you know, streaming platforms. So anyway, Summer Game Fest starts June 8th at 3 p.m. Eastern with the actual Summer Game Fest show hosted by Jeff Keighley. Then at 5 p.m., you have Day of the Devs, which is from IM8Bit and Double Fine Studios. So it's a bunch of like indie studios getting highlighted on the games that they're working on. I have always enjoyed Day of the Devs. And then at 6 p.m., Devolver Digital will have their showcase. And, you know, that show is always just a hoot to watch. So, you know, they do a lot of really funny kind of meta type things as well. June 9th, you get at 3 p.m., we have the Tribeca Game Spotlight. June 10th is the, at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, is the Wholesome Direct, which is another kind of indie showcase. At 2 p.m. is the OTK Game Show. It's hosted by Asmongold. I don't really know much about that show. And then June 11th is a big day because you have the Xbox Game Showcase at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with, directly right after the show, a Starfield Direct, which is another hour of information, at least an hour of information, just all about Starfield. And supposedly the Xbox Game Showcase is running anywhere between 90 minutes to 2 hours. I will probably be on the Discord server in one of the voice channels just hanging out to watch that show if anybody's interested in joining me for that. I'm going to try to be there for the Summer Game Fest show as well, but we'll see if that happens. And then at 4 p.m. Eastern, you have the PC Gaming Show, and they have said that there will be 15 new game announcements for that. And then June 12th, which is not tied to Summer Game Fest, but they're still having a direct of some kind. It's just the Ubisoft Forward from at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, and they will have AC Mirage, Avatar, Frontier of Pandora, The Crew Mortarfest, and more. And then the 6 p.m. Eastern Time on June 12th will be the Capcom Showcase. So, Hop, I'm just going to first tell you, like, which two shows are you most interested in watching?
Well, the Xbox and probably the Capcom.
Fair.
Definitely, because those are the two... those are the two things that I have the most interest in, really.
I don't blame you there. I would agree with the Xbox Showcase. I'm going to kind of tie in the Starfield Direct with that because they're really going to go back to back from what it sounds like. But my second show would probably be the Ubisoft Forward for a very particular reason, which I'll get into in a moment. But... yeah, those are probably the two big showcases that I'm interested in. Devolver Digital, like I said earlier, it's just a funny show to watch. They do a really good job of, and they highlight, they bring a lot of cool games out. Some of my favorite games of years past came from Devolver Digital. So I would definitely not sleep on that showcase at all. Summer Game Fest is obviously going to be a big highlight. There's going to be a lot of really cool releases there, or at least premieres rather, not releases. All right, now Hop, I'm going to shift gears a little bit on this, and I want you to think about three things. The first thing is one realistic thing that you kind of hope to see from a showcase. It doesn't have to be necessarily a specific one, but just something realistic that you kind of want to see happen. A dream thing that, you know, you're kind of swinging for the fences on, but, you know, it may not happen, but it's not the end of the world. And then... I want you to give me something just bonkers. Doesn't make sense. It's or something wild, you know, something that you would love to see that maybe nobody else in this entire world would want to see. Like, would you want a beer and whiskey simulator? You know, something just stupid, right? So, you know, pick one of those categories. Tell me which one you want to start with, and we'll go back and forth on it. All right.
Let's see. One realistic thing. At this point, I'd really hope to see actual in-game gameplay footage of Avowed. If there was any Xbox game that they showed a few years ago that piqued my interest because it was Obsidian and because it was a first-person RPG, that one, and I think it's been long enough that we should see that now. I think that's a realistic expectation.
All right, I can get behind that. I would like to see not necessarily just a teaser, but something that gives us like a story teaser, something that gives us a little bit of taste of the story. Doesn't have to be a lot, just enough to make you go, okay, please give me more information sooner than later. And that is of Gears 6 or whatever the next.
Right, that's another thing that there's been nothing, like nothing, not even a hint.
Yeah, like I
And
don't.
the way the fifth game ended is a little bit
Yes.
of a not a good place to end a game. Like there needs to be another game. I'm
Yeah.
not even that invested in that trilogy. 4, 5, and 6 is kind of a bonus, like alternate universe trilogy. Like to me, the core Gears is 1, 2, and 3. And the books and the original comics. So 4, 5, and 6 were kind of fun, but they, or 4 and 5 were kind of fun, but they kind of like, I don't know, it just didn't have the same grab on me that the first three did.
Yeah.
But they're still good. They're still good games. Graphically, they're amazing. I think mostly the multiplayer just changed so much that I didn't care as much.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I need a taste. I don't need a lot, and I want it to be story driven in its taste. I want it just to give me, like, you don't have to tell me anything about the story, just something that gives me like, ooh, they have to be doing Gears in some way, right? But just give me something. Like, let me know it is officially happening, right? And let me know that the story is going to be a huge factor in the story, in the game. So yeah, that's my realistic expectation there. All right. Ubo lets us know in the chat. He wants to know more about Fable trailer gameplay. He just wants to see something, Fable related, probably
That's
more.
another one that they've been that they showed or they they announced
Couple,
3 years ago,
yeah.
and we're still sitting here twiddling our thumbs.
Which, you know what? I get that people have to announce games. I read this article about essentially game studios have to announce a game because they can't hire people under the presumption of an unknown project because they can't go through all these interviews and say, like, hey, come work in this studio on Fable when it hasn't been announced yet, because they're just going to walk out of the thing and go, hey, guess what? So and so is working on Fable, right? So I get there's that component of games being announced maybe too early, but they're being announced so that way they can maybe hire for them in a lot of ways. But either way, I do agree. Like, it would be nice to see something Fable related. All right, what is your dream thing? Like, what is something that you just like, this would be awesome, but I don't think it's gonna happen, but I still think this would be great if it could. Would you like me to go ahead?
Crimson Skies 2 with a full campaign and multiplayer that blows everybody's fucking pants off.
Oh man, that would be great. That is a
I
big
played the
dream.
fucking shit out of that game. I mean, and this is I know I'm like gonna blow open this door again, but this is what I mean. The original Xbox and the 360 had some really cool fucking exclusive amazing shit that they just haven't been able to do again. And I don't know, and some of this I don't know for sure if Crimson Skies is stuck in a bunch of legal shit with FASA Studios, because it was a multi-owned property. I think Microsoft does own it now, but like MechWarrior Mech Assault was another thing from FASA Studios, and when that all fell apart, like some of the rights for stuff went some places and others. I don't know for sure, but what I'm saying is I want some of that ingenuity and creativity that they had in those early days. Like I fucking loved Mech Assault 1 and 2. Those were a blast. Crimson Skies were awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, they just had some really, really fun exclusive multiplayer games at the time, and That's currently lacking.
I agree. I would love to see a Crimson Skies. In today's world, I could see why. Okay, I'm going to say something and then I'm going to back it. I'm going to backtrack in a little bit with it as well. But I can see in today's world how in a kind of an arcadey flight combat action game may not do well, right? It doesn't have mass appeal. But with that being said, and we're talking about Microsoft and Xbox here, I think it's a great Game Pass title, especially if it can, as long as it's a good game, right? I think that has to be key. Good, great, whatever adjective you want to put on it, but it's got to be a solid game that's full feature rich and has all of, and it works really well. But I do think that it's just not a super big mass appeal kind of game, and AAA games tend to be. I mean, hell, like make an awesome Crimson Sky AA game. I mean, there's plenty of fantastic AA games out there. I mean, Hi-Fi Rush was a AA game, if you will. So, all right. Yeah, no, sir, I support your dream on this. My dream, and I teased this earlier with the Ubisoft conference, and that's because I really want them to actually give me more on the new Splinter Cell game. I want to know that Ubisoft is not going to fuck this up, right? I just want to know that Splinter Cell is being taken care of. Give me Splinter Cell, please. Just give me more than just the three-lighted night vision goggles. Just let me have Splinter Cell.
You mean you don't just want Sam Fisher to show up in a random mission in Ghost Recon Wildlands?
I mean, that was fantastic because they had Michael Ironside do it, but I still. Know. I want a legit.
Yeah, I want. I am with you. I want a Splinter Cell game that harkens back to like those first two or three games where it was really about the sneaking around and the mm-hmm. stealth and using. I mean, you know, they modernize it for current technology, drone spying, whatever, all that stuff. But just make the gameplay really solid. This is what I worry about. I love a lot of Ubisoft games, but a lot of their recent games are all kind of this same template of yep. open world games, start in a small area gets bigger, map expands, 400 side missions to do.
It's the Assassin's Creed Far Cry paradox.
Right. Yeah. So I'm hoping it's not just like that. But yeah.
No. Make it linear, cool. Make it like individual levels that you can, maybe there's like various stages within them and optional pathing that you could take, but keep it like the first three games. Like you said, you know, I personally have a soft place in my heart for almost every single one of the Splinter Cell games that has released. So I just give me Splinter Cell, please. You don't have to do multiplayer. You don't have to do microtransactions. I will pay $70. I will probably buy the collector's edition. Like, you got me. As long as you don't F it up and make it an Assassin's Creed Far Cry style game.
Yeah, I mean, if they took a playbook from Metal Gear Solid 5, which was open world, but it wasn't like an Ubisoft game open world. I don't know how to explain it. Like, it was more. It randomly and slowly got more open as you went on, as you explored. It didn't just drop a overwhelmingly bunch of shit all over the screen like yeah. Ubisoft games do to you. And you're like, what
climb
you
a
doing?
Tower and unlock the vision of everything right. that you need to collect. Yeah. No, don't do that. All right. Now, the bonkers idea. What is the most like asinine thing that you can come up with that you personally would love that maybe nobody else would like? And for me, my bonkers idea is this. As you know, I've become highly hooked on Hunt Showdown. I've loved the idea of it, the extraction shooter, the risk reward. You know, it's a lot of fun to me. And I had this conversation with our buddy Warlock and our buddy McSwitch, and I would love to see an extraction shooter that, well, it doesn't necessarily be, no, shooter would be fine. But I would like to see like maybe like a fantasy style version of it, you know, where you have spells, you have, excuse me, bows and arrows, swords, like it's more, you know, you have dragons and other crazy things. Like, I'd like to see something kind of come around in that and maybe lean into the horror still a little bit, but I would love to see something of that nature, just more variation on this genre. Bungie is doing the Marathon, which is going to be that futuristic sci-fi. You have your military sim and Escape from Tarkov on PC. You got the third person extraction shooter, if you will, in the Dark Zone, or wait,
Division.
Is it called the Dark Zone in there?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Just like my brain blanked on that for a moment, but yeah.
I wonder if they're going to show the next Division
Heartland.
Cause there's two Division projects, I think, a mobile one and then yeah. Oh, you know what else I hope they really show? And goddamn, if they shadow drop this shit, I'm going to be so excited. X Defiant, which is a 6v6 competitive shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a Call of Duty clone, but with semi-classes. And it's actually being made by some of the guys that used to work in Infinity Ward in the heyday. That's getting a lot of good traction from like the hardcore Call of Duty community that's kind of burned out on the current state of Call of Duty, and it looked really fun, and it reminded me of classic like Black Ops 2, you know, Modern Warfare, original Modern Warfare kind of era, but just with better graphics, and it has the cleaners from the Division, and you know, it's got a couple of key Ubisoft things in it. That would be cool to see, because it's been beta tested twice now and there's no release date, so maybe they'll either shadow drop a release because it's a free-to-play game, or we'll actually get a release date. I'm looking forward to that.
Buddy of the show, Eddie, Game Agent ET. Yeah,
he's going to the Borderlands movie with me in a body bag.
Oh, damn. I got dark Woo! Real fast. I don't even know how to follow that. Jeez. I was just going to say he brought
up. I told him I would get him back because he jacked me on the Oh God, It's Her.
Oh God. Dude is a stealth master of getting you on the Borderlands drop. I love it.
Speaking of which, you ready?
We didn't talk about it until now. We didn't talk about it.
The bonkers thing that doesn't make sense is the Borderlands the movie game. I want it.
Borderlands the movie game.
No, seriously. God, I'm trying to think what would be something. I mean, my dream thing was Crimson Skies. Bonkers thing that doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know, Finn. Okay, here's a bonkers thing that if it was announced, it would just be bonkers. That Sega announces that they're making a new console like in 4 years or something. That would be a totally off the wall thing that I would actually be really excited about.
That would be so insane, right?
Right. That's what I mean. That's nuts. That at this point in the game, why even try? I mean,
make Atari try to make a comeback, and I don't even think that even released yet.
No, that's right. That weird. Yeah. Oh wow. No, I think it did, and I think it silently just went away.
I mean, I feel like Game Agent will be able to tell us about that. He'll give us some info on the Atari thing. But yeah, that's crazy. Like, that would be the most. Oh, what if they brought back? Oh, dang it! Why do these things like they pop in my brain and they disappear immediately? What was the handheld that Sega made?
The Lynx? Oh, the Game Gear?
The Game Gear. That's it. What if they brought that back? You know, like just where you had to put in like 19,000 AA batteries just to get it to go for 20 minutes, right?
Yeah,
There you
eight
go.
batteries like crazy.
And
Yeah.
they'll bring that thing
Six. I
back
think it took
with.
six AA batteries
Oh,
and the
God.
Game Gear ate them in about 3 hours. Yeah. You
Yeah.
definitely wanted the rechargeable battery pack for that thing.
Oh, jeez. That thing was. And, like, it got hot, too. Like, if I recall, like, if I remember that correctly, it got hot, too. You didn't want to hold it for more than 3 hours, essentially. Yeah. So. Eddie brought up a really cool point. Fusion Frenzy 2. That would be cool.
Right, that's another one of those games from that early era of Xbox. They had all these cool, neat ideas, and they haven't done shit with them. And I don't know if it's because of licensing or if it's just because they're betting on a sure thing. But hell, right now's the time to do some crazy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it. Yeah, it would be interesting. Like, I mean, I again, like, that mass appeal of the party game is kind of gone in a lot of ways, you know. But Fusion Frenzy was great. So, yeah, the Ubo brought up the Wolverine, and that is being done by Insomniac.
Oh
And
my God.
good thing you got your PlayStation 5, right?
Fuck yeah. Especially after playing a little, I just played like the first hour of Spider-Man and I was like, this game's gonna be fucking amazing.
Beefy Switch 2.
Yeah,
I
so does my son.
think so does most people in the Nintendo world would love a new version of Switch, which still may be a couple years out.
We had an interesting conversation while I was swimming with the kids, and we somehow my son and I got talking about what Nintendo's gonna do next. And I was telling him, I was like, you know, we all hope Nintendo makes a Switch Plus or a Switch 2, and it's, you know, it does, it's more updated graphically and has some new features. But all of us that have been in this gaming hobby for a long time, we also all fear that it's gonna be the Wii U 2, or you know what I mean? Something where they half drop the ball, you know.
Two Nintendo, two Switch.
Right.
Something ridiculous, right? Well, sir, as always, it's a pleasure to talk about video games with you, and it's great having some people chatting it up in the Discord as we're talking. And it will be a lot of fun to see what happens over the next 2 weeks when we come together again. In 2 weeks, we'll talk about what we saw and what we liked, what we are a little confused on, and maybe one of our dreams, maybe one of our bonkers over the top ideas will happen. I highly doubt it, but it will be interesting to see how it all plays out. Like I said earlier, I know for the Xbox game show or game showcase, I will definitely be in the Discord server watching. I think Discord even set up a streaming like way you can watch the same thing at the same time. So I'll see about if that can be set up, but I'll do that on the Xbox game showcase, maybe Summer Game Fest, but I'll send that out there and love to, you know, watch it with people if they are interested. So yes, let's enjoy the next couple weeks, because there's gonna be a lot of cool things, and as Hop shares with us usually once every couple episodes, let's not shit on other people's pizza. Just because it's something that you may not be interested in, doesn't mean that somebody else isn't as well. So enjoy it. Let's have some fun. Let's enjoy it. Let's talk about it. Let's see what we can get out of it, and then go from there. I am Fenrir765. I like to hang out here at our theadultgamer.com and chat video games with many people. Hop, give yourself a little plug, and let's call it a night.
All right, Optimus, you can find me here at tagtheadultgamer.com. Hit me up on the Discord. You can also find me as a guest on the Ruminations Radio Network. I host a podcast called Retrofuturist Culture. We're dropping an episode on Tron. Should be this week, I think. It's going to be a really fun one. Come check us out, ruminationsradionetwork.com.
All right. Well, I'm Fen, he's Hop, and this is the Tagcast. But until next time, we will catch you on the flippity flip.